Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of John, chapter number 3, and starting with verse number 1. Amen. This is probably the first time you've ever read from this text. Amen. But we'll go with it anyways. Praise God. John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Amen. I would like to minister along these lines, or actually, I'll give you a title a little bit later, but I want to use this as a springboard. I want to start from here, and I want to talk about this being born. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Put your Bible down, and let's lift our hands and lift our voices unto the Lord right now, and let's ask for His touch and His anointing upon this service. Lord, we love You today, God. We desire Your will in this house, God. We love Your Word, God. Let it get into our hearts, and let it minister unto us, God. Anoint the Word to every heart and to every situation, God, and give us understanding in Your Word, God. We'll be sure to give You all the glory, God, all the glory that's due unto Your name, God, for You deserve it all, God. You deserve all of our praise. You deserve all of our worship. You deserve all the glory today. We thank You and we praise You today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. Amen. I love the book of John. Amen. Of all the Gospels in the New Testament, John is by far my favorite book. Amen. And I read that book probably more than any of them. The verse in John that we read here is a very familiar story. Like I said, you probably never heard the text preached from before, and I know that's not true, but we've heard it and we've read it many times. Amen. Jesus here is talking to one of the religious leaders of his day, Nicodemus. Notice how it says that he came to Jesus by night. Amen. This is more than likely because it would have been frowned upon by the other Pharisees had they known about this meeting. Amen. Nicodemus had to come to Jesus by the evening time, under the shadow of darkness, so that nobody saw him, so that nobody knew what he was doing. Amen. Nicodemus was a man who he knew the Bible. Amen. To be a Pharisee, to be a religious leader, if you will, of those days, it was given that he knew about the Bible. He knew it frontwards. He knew it backwards. He knew what was contained in the Bible. He knew every dot and every tittle of the law. He understood what it meant in the Bible when it told the commandments in the Bible. He knew what was referred to as the Tanakh. The Tanakh is the Jewish word for the law or the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Amen. The three things contained in what we would consider as the Old Testament, the Tanakh. Amen. That's what they had to go off of. Amen. If we're talking to someone about the Lord, if we're talking to someone about salvation, if we're talking to somebody about the truth, oftentimes we'll use scriptures out of the New Testament. Amen. We talk about a lot in the book of Romans, or we talk in 1 Corinthians. Amen. But those books hadn't been written at this time. Jesus didn't have those books to reference. Amen. And so Nicodemus didn't know nothing about the New Testament. In fact, they were living the stories that were to be written about in the future while they were talking here in John chapter number 3. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus by the night. Amen. There was something that he was searching for. There was something that he was looking for that the law had not satisfied. Amen. There was something that he was looking for that this flesh had not satisfied. Amen. Everything that was contained in the law, everything that was put in there and that he understood, if it was satisfying, if it was something that was going to complete him, he would have never come to Jesus. Amen. But we know that he did. We know that he did that faithful evening, that he came to the Lord and that he came to him and he had asked questions of him. When he comes to Jesus, he acknowledges that Jesus was sent from God. Amen. That was a big statement. The Pharisees, for a Pharisee to admit that this man was come from God was a big thing. Amen. But they were in a place that was secluded. They were in the darkness. There was something that he could open up his heart and he could tell God, he could tell Jesus rather there that what he believed and what he had seen. Amen. He had seen the mighty acts that Jesus had that he had committed. He had seen the miracles that Jesus had performed. Amen. He had seen them and he said, as he saw them, he said, I want some more of this power. I want to know what's going on in this situation. Amen. I've known the law probably all of my life. Amen. I've grown up learning and understanding the truth contained in the Old Testament law. Amen. But there's something different about this man. There's something different about what he's doing and what he's allowed, what God has allowed him to do. He understood that he was a teacher come from God and that without the power and the presence of God, that he would not have been able to do the things that he did. Amen. If you will, there was a hunger inside of him for something greater than he had known. Amen. Everything he'd known up to that point, everything he had learned up to that point, he wanted something greater. Amen. Jesus doesn't waste any time in talking to him. Amen. He talks to Nicodemus and he responds to the question or the comment that Nicodemus makes. And he says, and we read it this morning, that Jesus tells him that he must be born again. Amen. We know that. We've heard that. We've heard that preached before. But go back, if you will, to where Nicodemus was at. Go back to where he would have been and everything that he had been taught, everything that he had learned up to this point, this thought of being born again was something that was not contained in the law, or at least not on the surface level. Amen. This thought of being born again was not something that he was taught as he went through the scriptures. Amen. It was not something that the Pharisees went about and taught to the other people. Amen. This confused this wise Pharisee. Amen. Whenever Jesus told him he must be born again, he thought in the very literal sense. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? How can a man be born again? He thought back to the physical birth that he partook of when he was born unto his mother. Amen. And he knew that it was impossible for him to go back to that state. He knew that it was impossible for him to be born in the same likeness, in the same form that he had been born back in the beginning. Amen. So it puzzled him. He didn't know how to take that. He didn't know how to receive that from Jesus. Amen. But he had to go back to the beginning is what Jesus was telling him. Amen. Let's do that this morning. Let's go back to the very beginning. Go back with me. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 this morning. Amen. The Bible, the word Genesis there in the Bible actually means beginning. Amen. And so we're going to go back to the beginning and we're going to look at it this morning. We're going to look at the very beginning of mankind. Amen. Genesis 1 and verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh of or the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Amen. Mankind was created in the image of God. Amen. You were created in the image of God. Did you know that? Amen. I know that the man that I looked at in the mirror fell very, very far short of the image of God. Amen. But that's how God originally created man. We were designed to be like him. Amen. Not that we were to be gods, but we were designed after his image. We were designed from the very beginning. That was God's plan from the very beginning, that we would be in the image or the likeness of God. Amen. When God put Adam in the garden, that's what he had intended. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 7. Skip over a chapter there in Genesis. Chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. We know the story. This is where God created Adam. Amen. Or recollecting where God created Adam. Amen. God, if you will, gathered up some dirt. Amen. And he packed it together, and he formed it into a man. He shaped it like a man. And maybe some of us, when we looked in the mirror this morning, we looked a little more like that dirt than we did the image of God. Amen. But he gathered it together and he formed it and he fashioned it into a man. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop in what he had made. He didn't stop in the likeness of man or the image of man. But he went beyond that. He could have stopped there, but he didn't. But the Bible says that he breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. Amen. The breath of God was detrimental, was essential for life to come into that man, for life to come into Adam and eventually into Eve, and then all the mankind after that. Amen. The breath of God breathed into us. If you still have breath in your lungs this morning, and I think all of us or most of us fall under that category. Maybe we're not quite awake this morning, amen, but we all have the breath of in our lungs this morning, amen. If we have that breath, we are a living soul, amen. Our soul is the innermost part of us, amen. You can't see your soul, amen, but you know that it's there, amen, amen. God put into us a soul, into the innermost part of us, the part of us that is not subject to decay, the part of us that is not going to break down. Amen. Our soul doesn't ache after we've had a long day of work. Amen. Our soul doesn't hurt as we get older. Our soul doesn't age and progress. Amen. But our soul is the eternal part of us that God put within us. Amen. Whenever God breathed the breath of life into man, he became a living soul. And God intended for that soul to be eternal. Amen. Our soul is eternal. It lives on forever. Our body is going to break down. And as we get older, we see that more. You know, when we're young, we can do everything we want to do, and we don't feel it the next day. We're not sore the next day. Amen. But the older we get, the more we begin to feel that. The more we're saying, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have exerted myself so far. Maybe I shouldn't have pushed myself so far. Amen. The soul, though, is something that is made to be eternal. God gave it to us, and it's something that's going to live on forever. Amen. The only question is, where is it going to live on forever? Amen. We know that eventually our bodies, this body that we were born into, amen, unto our mother and our father, this body that God gave to us, this body is going to die. Amen. This body is going to die. Amen. And when that body dies, that soul needs a new place of residence. Amen. It can no longer dwell in that body, but it has to spend eternity somewhere. Amen. So God intended for our soul to be eternal. God put the breath of life into man, and he gave unto man the thing called the power of choice. Amen. God was not interested in making someone or something that would worship him or love him out of necessity or obligation. Amen. God could have pushed a button and everybody praised the Lord. Amen. But that was not what God was after. That was not what God desired. Amen. God was not interested in making someone or something that would worship him or love him out of necessity or obligation. But God was rather wanted someone that would love him and worship him because they had a desire in their heart to do so. Amen. He wanted it to be a personal choice. Amen. When we come to the house of God, God doesn't want us to go through the motions of praising him and praying unto him. He doesn't want us to go through the motions of coming to the altar and worship or praise. He wants those things. Don't get me wrong, but he wants them to come from our heart. He wants it to be a free will offering. Amen. He doesn't want it to be because whoever's leading the service says, come on, let's praise the Lord. He doesn't want it to be because somebody gets up before us and says, okay, clap your hands unto the Lord, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I know we say those things, amen, and it's to promote worship, amen, but how much more excellent, how much more great is it when we praise God from the depths of our heart, amen, when we come to the altar and we lift our heart and we lift our hands unto God and we do it because we have a desire to feel his presence and to draw closer to him, amen. That's how God intended worship to be. Even back in the days of Adam, that's how God intended our praise and our worship to be. Amen. He wanted it to be heart worship. He wanted it to be from the heart. He wanted it to be a personal choice. He wanted us to have a desire, very much like Nicodemus did, for more of God. Amen. And that's what Nicodemus wanted. He wanted more of God. He wanted more than what he had been taught. He wanted more than what the law was able to give to him. And I'm not downplaying the importance of the law. The Bible says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us into the New Testament. Amen. The law is essential. Amen. But the law, where it fell short, Jesus Christ built upon it. Amen. He built upon the law. He made it a more excellent plan and a more excellent order that we would have to follow after. Amen. Amen. God wants us to have a desire this morning. Unfortunately, we know the story of Adam and Eve ends. And we know how the story ends. We know how it concludes. They choose, if you will, to follow after the lust of their flesh. Amen. They follow after their lust rather than to submit to God's commandments. Amen. They didn't have very many commandments. Amen. In that time, there was only one. You can do anything you want to do. You can partake of any tree that's in the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. Amen. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Amen. They had one commandment. Amen. They had more, I guess, if you look at the fact that Adam was commanded to have dominion. Adam was to name all of the animals. Adam was to dress and to keep the garden. We know all of those things. But they had one thing that they had to follow after. They had one thing that they had to do. And it was to abstain from one tree. The Bible doesn't tell us how many trees were in the garden, but I would like to believe that there were hundreds, if not thousands, of trees that were available for fruit. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis that God said that there would be grass, where he spoke and there was grass created. There's over 1,200 species of grass in the earth. And all God had to do was speak, and all God had to do was say, let there be, bring forth grass. Amen. And the trees are the same way. How many different types of species of tree are there? Amen. And so there were hundreds, if not thousands, of trees in the garden. And Adam and Eve and his wife could have partaken of any of them. That maybe it was an apple tree or a plum or whatever it was. They could have had any of the fruit, but the one tree that they couldn't have, the Bible says it was in the midst of the garden. It was in the middle of the garden. And God said, don't eat of it, because in the day you do, you're going to surely die. We know how the story ends. We know that they partook of the forbidden tree in the midst of the garden. And because of that, they were sentenced to death. Amen. We obviously understand that they did not physically die right then and there, or none of us would have been here today. Amen. The physical death was not so much what it was referring to, although there would come a time when Adam and Eve would physically die. Amen. Adam lived into, he was not over 900 years old when he died. But it was God's intention that he partake of the tree of life, because it was God's intention that they not have an end. Amen. But they spend eternity with him in perfection in the Garden of Eden. Amen. At that moment, God did not physically kill them. They would, however, eventually die. But beyond that, the death that took place was the close and the personal relationship that they had with God. Amen. God, their Creator, walked amongst them and spoke with them. Amen. He spoke to them as if I'm speaking to you today. Amen. He talked to them and he told them and he directed them and he gave them understanding. He loved them because he was their direct creation. Amen. The death that took place was the relationship that they had with God. God had talked with them, he communed with them, but that died with their rebellion. Amen. Amen. And it all started when God breathed the breath of life into man. Amen. In the Old Testament, the word breath or breathe translates to the word neshama. Neshama. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, but that word means a puff, that is wind, divine inspiration. It means soul or spirit. Amen. When God breathed the breath of life into mankind, God put a spirit into him. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, that spirit was the spirit of man. Amen. That's the spirit or the soul that God breathes within us. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to John chapter 3 this morning. And turn there with me this morning. John chapter 3 And let's continue on from where we read. Let's start at verse number 5. Nicodemus in chapter in verse 4 says, how can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again? How can he go back to his mother's womb and be born a second time? And so Jesus responds to him here. And he says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. That goes back to the very beginning where God created mankind. He created flesh. Amen. And he breathed the breath of life into mankind. But that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Amen. The word spirit in these verses that we just read is the word pneuma. Amen. It means a current of air, that is breath, or a blast, or a breeze. Amen. But it goes on. The definition goes on. It doesn't just stop with it being a wind or a breath of air. It says Christ's spirit. It means the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So in essence, we have the same word breath here in the Old Testament. God breathed the breath of life into man. But instead of the plan that God had hoped for, man instead chose sin. Man chose something that would separate us from the will and the plan of God. Amen. But I'm thankful this morning that God didn't give up on mankind. He didn't give up on the hope that he had for mankind. He could have. Amen. He had a lot of opportunities. If you read through the Old Testament of the kings and the people, they strayed away from God. It seems like every other chapter, you have a king that did not which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then you would have another king that would come and he would do what was right. And he would try to restore Israel to a place where it had a communication and a communion with God. And then the next king would do the same thing. He would fall away and he would do that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful that God didn't give up on mankind. Before God ever spoke the very first word of creation, he had already planned a plan of redemption. Amen. God knew that there was going to need to be a plan of redemption. God knew that man would fall and that mankind would not be able to live righteously without God's grace. Amen. He knew before the creation that there would need to be a means or a way for man to be able to come back to God. Amen. Does that not just blow your mind this morning? Amen. God created mankind. He gave man choice. He gave man the ability to choose, but he already knew that man was going to make that wrong decision. And so before he ever created, before he began to form the dust of the earth together and to make mankind, he already had a plan in store for our redemption. Amen. That's the God that we serve. Amen. He's a great God. Amen. He was already making a plan for us to come back to God before mankind had even fallen away from God. Amen. That plan was Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 refers to him as the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Amen. From the very beginning, he was the Lamb that was slain. Was he slain in the very beginning? No, we understand he wasn't slain back then. But the plan was already in place. The plan was already set up so that when man fell, not if man fell, but when man fell, that there would be a place of redemption that man could come back to God. Amen. Back in Genesis chapter 1. Amen. Turn back there with me. Genesis 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God. Amen. You could go so deep into those four words. In the beginning, God. Before anything ever existed, before anything that we know of on this earth ever existed, in the beginning, God. And it says that God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. It didn't have any shape. It didn't have any form. There was nothing. Amen. And it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. All God had to do was speak it. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen. When God was speaking there these very first words of creation, he already had a plan of redemption laid out. Amen. He already had a plan of salvation laid out. Amen. There was a form and there was a dispensation that was to take place in the Old Testament. Amen. But he had a greater plan. He had a greater dispensation that was going to take place in the New Testament. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Amen. It says, in the beginning. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Amen. That is actually referred to as intertextuality. Amen. If a verse or a phrase is referred to in multiple places in the Bible, if it's referred back to, they are intertextually related to one another. Amen. And it's important because if you see one and it's quoted, you want to look at both instances and what are they talking about? How do they relate one with another? Amen. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So it's referring back to creation. And it says, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. So if it wasn't for God, you and I wouldn't be here today. Amen. In Him was life. In God was life. And the life was the light of men. And so there we have another reference to the light. Amen. Just like in Genesis 1, He refers again to the light. And it says that the light, or the life, was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Very much like Genesis 1, where light came out of nowhere. Light came out of nothing. Amen. All that there was darkness, but light shone out of that darkness. And the darkness didn't know how to receive it. It had never seen light before. Amen. Here we have two accounts of creation. The first in Genesis and the second in John. Who is this second account? Who is John talking about in the Scripture? Amen. It's talking about God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen. The same God that it was referring to in Genesis chapter 1. But if we jump down a little bit to John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word, or God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The same God that created the heavens and the earth, the same God that spoke, let there be light, came down to the mankind that He created. Amen. He knew that when He created mankind, that He would eventually have to come down and He would have to robe Himself in humanity, and that He would have to come down and provide Himself as a sacrifice in our place. Amen. Jesus Christ came down to this world to bring to fruition the plan of redemption that God had ordained from the very beginning of time. He came and He suffered. Amen. He came and He was beaten. Amen. We know the story. It's not a beautiful story. It's not a story that mankind should be proud of. Amen. But the God of heaven came down, and He was rejected. Amen. He was rejected of His own. Amen. He was rejected of the likes of Nicodemus. Amen. The other Pharisees. And they rejected Him and they turned their backs on Him. Amen. They didn't want what He had. Amen. They didn't look that He was fulfilling Scripture after Scripture in the Old Testament. They didn't look the fact that He was providing them revelation of what God meant in the Old Testament. They didn't care about those things. Amen. They cared about their power. Amen. They cared about their position. Amen. They cared about what they had established as truth. Amen. And so they rejected Him. They turned their backs on Him. They spit on Him. Amen. They brought Him before Rome, who was in power at that time. And they brought Him to be crucified. They brought Him to be killed, so that they could continue on in the way that they had been living. Amen. They weren't interested in change. They were interested, if you will, in the breath of life that was created from the very beginning of time. They weren't like Nicodemus. They didn't want something more. They just wanted this man gone. Amen. And so they brought Him to Rome and they beat Him. Amen. They bruised Him. Isaiah 53 in verse 5, you can probably quote this scripture. It says, But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's our sins. I mean, that's why he was beaten. Did you know that? Did you know it was my sin and it was your sin that caused him to be beaten? Amen. If that doesn't make us ashamed of our sin, I don't know what will. Amen. But he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. When they laid his back open, each of those stripes that they laid across his back was for you and for I. Amen. It was for us. Amen. It was so that he could take on our sin. Not only did he come down and take on the form of man, but he came down to this earth and he took on sinful man for our sake. Amen. He took on our sins so that we did not have to suffer, so that we did not have to be beaten, so that we did not have to be bruised, so we did not have to have our backs laid open as he did. Amen. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did at Calvary for us. Amen. It says that by his stripes we are healed. By his suffering we are healed. And we know that. We quote that scripture. We use that scripture whenever we're sick. Amen. We use that scripture whenever we have a disease in our body. Amen. And we believe that God, by his stripes, that we are healed. And that's what it means. Amen. It means that because of the sacrifice that he made, there is power for us to be healed and to be made whole. Amen. But it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just mean healing from sickness. It also means healing from our sins. Amen. It means healing from the death that Adam began all those years ago. Amen. Jesus went to Calvary to take our sins. Amen. The Bible says that he died. The Bible says that he gave up the ghost. Amen. Or the spirit, if you will. Amen. All the breath that was in him was gone. Amen. The breath, if you will, of the Old Testament that he had, he was born just like you and I are born. He was born, the Bible tells us, he was born unto Mary. And when he was born, God breathed the breath of life into him, into the man. Amen. But that breath died when he went to Calvary. Amen. We know, and thankfully, it didn't end there. That's because there was a new breath that was to come. After Jesus died and he was buried, on the third day, the Bible says that he rose from the dead. He was resurrected and he had new breath in him. Amen. He had a new breath in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. Turn there with me this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Praise God. Amen. Christ is risen from the dead. And he has become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, every one of us, if the Lord does not call up his church, every one of us are going to die. Amen. But even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. Death is not the end of the story. Amen. Death does not have power and dominion over the child of God. Amen. But it says, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. What Jesus was trying to show Nicodemus was that he needed the Spirit of God in his life. He needed more than the breath that he was given from his first birth. He needed a new breath, if you will. Amen. Not the old breath that God put in him when he was born, but he needed the breath that could only be put in him through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us this morning, that we need the Spirit of God. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. And not just a one-time and you just go your way and once saved, always saved. Amen. But when we come to God for the first time, God fills us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may have to seek after it for a week. You may have to seek after it for a month. Amen. But when God fills you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, he breathes the breath, a new breath of life into you. Amen. And then as we live for God, amen, we lose some of that breath. We lose some of that spirit. And so we need a renewing of it. We need a refreshing of it. And so we go back to him and we say, God, I need a renewing. God, I need a refreshing. I need the Holy Ghost again. God, fill me again with the Holy Ghost. And God does. God fills us again with the Holy Ghost. And he fills us to overflowing. He fills us to a point where we're overflowing with the Spirit and with the breath of God. Amen. God fills us with the Spirit that we need. The Bible says, and we read it, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. That's what we know before we come to God. Amen. Regardless of whether we've been born in the church, regardless of whether we've grown up in this truth, or whether we've come to God later in life. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. Just because you're a church kid, just because you grow up on these pews, falling asleep on these pews, and falling asleep under the voice of God's preaching. Amen. Just because you grow up knowing and understanding the truth, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. The flesh is only capable of coming up so high. The flesh is only capable of pushing itself or striving so much. Amen. But we're going to fall short if we rely simply on this flesh. Amen. But if we have received a new life, amen, and a new breath, then we can come up higher. Amen. We can sit in heavenly places, the Bible says. We can once again get into the presence of God, much like Adam and Eve before their fall. Amen. That's my desire. Amen. That's what I want. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39. Turn there this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39. It says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Amen. What it's referring to is it's referring to the creation. Amen. When God created these different things, God created them differently. Amen. He created flesh of beasts and the fishes and birds, but God did not ever create this flesh to be able to be a sacrifice or a payment, if you will, completely for the sins of man. Amen. God never intended for the flesh of beasts to be able to pay for the sins of mankind. Amen. In the Old Testament, that's what they did. They sacrificed these animals. They sacrificed a lamb for an offering for their sins. Amen. But that flesh was never intended to pay the ultimate price. Amen. It was something that was made to roll back or to push back the sins of mankind for another year. But God had a plan, a better plan of redemption that had not yet come in the Old Testament. Amen. And when Jesus Christ came, the flesh of man, even of man alone, was not able to pay the ultimate sacrifice. But it had to be God dwelling within man. It had to be sinless man. It had to be faultless man. It had to be mankind that had not tasted and seen of the world. Amen. But that had been sinless and free from all sin. That's who Jesus Christ is. I mean, that's the flesh that it's talking about. Amen. It says, so also, in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Amen. When we die, there's going to be corruption. There's going to be a breaking down of this old body. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. It says that it is raised in corruption. Amen. That means that if we die before the rapture takes place, amen, that our body is going to rise in incorruption. Amen. We're going to rise in a new body. Amen. Amen. We're not going to have to worry about this old broken down body. Amen. But it's going to rise in incorruption. And it says, it is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. Amen. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Amen. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Amen. He was made a living soul, much like you and I are made a living soul. God breathed the breath of life into us, but we're still flesh. Amen. We're still subject to vanities in this world. We're still subject to the sins of this world. Amen. But it goes on, it says, the last Adam, referring to Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Amen. Howbeit, that was not the first which was spiritual. The very first breath that God breathed into man was not the spiritual breath, but that which was natural. And afterward, that which was spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Praise God. The second man, Jesus Christ, is the Lord from heaven. Amen. That's awesome this morning. Praise God. That's a revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. That's a revelation. You know, we read it in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. We read it this morning. But this goes on. It builds upon that. It says the second man, that's talking about Jesus Christ, is the Lord from heaven. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for the revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. I'm so thankful that one day someone opened my eyes to the Scripture. Amen. To the Word of God. Amen. If you really think about it, and this is profound. I've never thought about it this way before, but when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, amen, we know the story, after he had died and he was resurrected, and they thought that all hope for Israel was gone. Amen. And Jesus appears to these two men, and he's walking down the road to Emmaus, and their heads are hung down. And they're thinking within themselves, what are we going to do now? We've lost all of our hope. And Jesus begins to talk to them, and he said, what's going on? What's wrong? What's the matter with you? And they said, well, have you not heard? Have you not been? Where have you been? Have you not heard what has happened in the last days? And Jesus says, what things? What has happened? And he's kind of playing with them. He's kind of saying what they're going to say. And they say, oh, well, about Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. And all the great things that he did, but he was slain, and he was brought before the government, and they slew him, and they put him upon the cross, and he died, and they buried him, and we've lost all hope. Amen. And he says to them, he calls them, he says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe the things that the prophets talked about. Amen. And the Bible says that he began to teach them. Amen. And pastor has always said it this way, and I believe it. He says that he began to teach them a Bible study. Amen. When we teach someone a Bible study, amen, what do we talk about? We talk about the plan of salvation. We talk about Acts 2:38. Amen. We talk about John chapter 6. Amen. Buried with him in baptism unto death. Amen. We talk about all of these things, but Jesus didn't have those things to glean from. Jesus didn't have the references to the New Testament that we use when we're trying to reach somebody with the revelation of who God is. And so he began, the Bible says, in the law and the prophets, and amen, and the Psalms, and he began to teach them about who he was. Amen. He went back to Genesis, if you will, and he talked to them about being the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Amen. He talked to them of all the times of Isaiah, where it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. He preached to them from the Old Testament. Amen. Can we preach God? Can we preach the redemption plan from the Old Testament? Absolutely we can. Amen. Amen. That's what he taught them. Amen. He taught them from the Tanakh. Amen. The Tanakh, T-N-K, the words of that refer to the original Hebrew words, T being the Torah, which are the first five books of the Old Testament. N was referring to the prophets. Amen. I don't have the word, but N referred to the prophets, and K referred to the writings, which was the Psalms and the rest of the writings in the Old Testament. That's what he had to go off of. And he taught them all of these things, and he opened their eyes. Amen. And whenever the Bible says they came to a crossing in the road, their hearts were burning within them. Amen. And he left them. Amen. They went their way and Jesus went his way. And they began walking down the road and they said, he went with them. He was going to leave them. He went with them to eat with them. And when he broke the bread, he vanished before their sight. And they said to themselves, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he was speaking to us? Amen. Did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. They were feeling what we feel, I believe, when we feel the presence of God. They were feeling what we feel when God fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Maybe if just a little taste, if you will, of what it's like to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The second man, Jesus Christ, is the Lord from heaven. Amen. He's not just a prophet, as some religions believe. He's not the second person of a man-made Trinity. Amen. He is God Almighty. Amen. He is Jehovah. Amen. He is Elohim. Amen. They wouldn't even speak that name because it was so sacred. Every time if you look in your Bible where you see the word the Lord and the Lord is all capitals, that's where that word is Elohim. They wouldn't even speak it. He was the Lord of the Old Testament. Amen. Amen. And he chose to come down to this earth in the likeness of you and I. Amen. He came down in the image of his creation. Isn't that awesome? He created man in his image, and then he chose to come down in that same image to be our salvation, to be our redemption. Amen. So that he could become the only spotless lamb and to be sacrificed for my sins and for your sins. Amen. He didn't have to do it. Amen. He could have stayed in heaven, and he could have watched this earth and all of mankind decay into nothing. Amen. And that's what would have happened. Amen. Eventually, it would have decayed and it would have broken up into nothing. And all of mankind would have gone its way. And you know, God could have created something new. He could have started from scratch as he did in the days of Noah. Amen. But he gave us a new opportunity. He gave us a new testament through Jesus Christ. He gave us a new and a better means by which we can come to him and by which we can have redemption through his blood. Amen. He did it so that he could restore that close and personal relationship that he desired to have with Adam. Amen. If that doesn't make you excited, I don't know what will. Amen. If it doesn't excite you that God, from the very foundations of this world, already laid out the redemption plan so that you could be saved, so that you could receive the Holy Ghost and I could receive the Holy Ghost. If that doesn't make you excited, then I don't know what will. And I'll tell you what, you're probably not going to make it all the way. Amen. But we need to be excited about what God did. Amen. This is the book of Jesus Christ. This is the book of his redemption. From Genesis to the maps, all the way from the very beginning to the end, this book was written for our redemption. This book was written so that we could obtain salvation, not so we could do it by ourselves, not so we could do something in our flesh, but so through the Spirit of God, we could obtain the redemption plan that he had for us. Amen. That's his desire. Amen. Before Adam sinned, he knew that you and I were going to need redemption. Before you and I were ever formed or thought of, amen, God knew that we would be walking in a world of sin and that we would be subject to the sin and the iniquity in the world and that we don't have the power in our own flesh. We don't have the power or the ability in our own flesh to be able to resist the sin and the temptation of this world. He knew that we were going to need something greater. He knew that we were going to need something higher. And so he laid out that plan from the foundations of the world. Amen. Amen. He knew we were going to need redemption. Amen. We sing a song from the songbook, and we sing it a lot. I love probably my favorite song. It's called It's All in Him. Amen. And I'm not going to go through every verse, but the second verse really goes along with what I'm talking about this morning. It says, Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah, Lord of hosts. The omnipresent Spirit who fills the universe. He's everywhere. He's the advocate. Amen. He's the high priest. He's the lamb for sinners slain. Amen. He's the one that created the plan of redemption. He's the high priest that was over the plan of redemption. And he was the lamb that was slain for the redemption. Amen. The lamb for sinners slain. He's the author of redemption. And then it says, oh, glory to his name. Amen. I hope when we sing that song next that we don't just sing it, but we think about it. We get into those words. He's the author of my redemption. Make it personal. Make it apply to yourself. He's the author of redemption. Oh, glory to his name. That glory isn't something that a songwriter wrote just so that we could sing the song. It's something that came from his heart. Oh, glory to his name. He had experienced the presence of God. He had experienced that Holy Ghost power of God. Everything we need is in Jesus. Everything that we need, everything that we've needed through from the time that we were first born, from the time that God breathed the breath of life into us, everything that we need is in Jesus Christ. And everything that we're going to need from here moving forward. And if God's filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, everything you need to make it all the way to heaven is in Him. Amen. It's in your relationship with Him. It's in the Word of God. He's already given it to you. Well, how do I handle this situation? God gave you the manual. Amen. Us guys, we don't like to read the manual sometimes, but God gave us the manual. Amen. He gave us what we need. Amen. Bible, I don't know if you ever heard, I think it's a funny saying, but Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what it means. These are our instructions. This is what God has given to us to know how to seek Him, to know how to follow Him, to know how to live for Him. Amen. To know how to lean upon Him. And whatever's not contained in here, He can speak directly to our spirit. Amen. It's not going to contradict the Word of God, though. It's going to build upon the Word of God. It's going to give us a deeper and a more prevalent, a more perfect understanding of His Word. Amen. Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. Turn there with me this morning. Acts 17 and verse 25. It says, neither is worshipped with men's hands. This is talking about God. As though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Amen. That is the only place in the New Testament where the specific word breath is mentioned. The word spirit means the same thing. In fact, they translate to the exact same Greek word. But it says, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God laid out what was going to happen. He laid out how long we would be upon this earth. He laid out that our bodies would be subject to vanity, that our bodies would be subject to the things of this world. Amen. He determined the times before appointed and the bounds of our habitation. He determined how high we were able to come in our flesh. He determined how good we would be able to be by ourselves. But we all fall short. Amen. Verse 27 says, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. Amen. Though He be not far from every one of us. God's not very far from you. Amen. He's as close as the mention of His name. Amen. Verse 28 says, For in Jesus Christ, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Amen. We are the offspring of God. Amen. The Bible calls us, those of us that are of the Gentile church, those are of us that are born again of the water and the Spirit, we are referred to as adopted child, as the spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen. We are referred to as adopted by Him. We are brought into this family by adoption, not by direct creation, but whenever God fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, God adopts us into His family. We become His offspring. Amen. That's what Jesus was trying to get through to Nicodemus. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter if you've grown up in the church or not. Amen. You need a you need to be the offspring of David. You need to be the offspring, the spiritual offspring of Abraham. Amen. When we're born into this world originally, we are born into a life of sin. The Bible says that we are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity. But on the other hand, when we are born again into the family of God, we aren't subject to that old life anymore. Amen. We're not subject to the old lifestyle anymore. Amen. If we go back to our old lifestyle, it's our own choice. Amen. But God has given everything to us. He's given it to us in His Word. He's given it to us through His Spirit. He has given it to us when He breathed the breath of life into us again, a second time, with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Amen. One more verse as she comes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man have the Holy Ghost, if any man be born again of water and of the Spirit, the Bible says that he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All. Everything. That means the breath of life that we had from the inception, from our birth, from our very beginning, that doesn't matter anymore. The breath of life that we have now is the new breath that God puts in us, the new spirit that He puts in us when He baptizes us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All things are become new. Just like when you were born for the first time, everything's new. Everything's exciting. Amen. Everything is new to you. Amen. When Isaiah looks around and he sees people, it's new to him. When he sees, you know, different things in the world, trees or, you know, we take those things for granted, but those are new to a child. They've never seen them before. They don't know where they came from. They don't understand. And it'll be years before they get that understanding. But God created them for us to see and for us to partake of. Those are new to us. Everything is new. Every experience is a new one. Heat, cold, seasons, things in this life. Amen. All of those things are new. But eventually they get old to us, don't they? Amen. But when we are born again, when God fills us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, we become a new creature. Amen. All our experiences are going to be new. Amen. Our life is going to be new. The way that we act is going to become new. The way that we talk, you know, it should become new. If it hasn't, then we need more of the breath of God. We need more of His Spirit within us. The way we talk is going to become new. We don't have to live anymore the way that we've always lived, but we can allow God to breathe the breath of life into us and to change us, change the old us into what God desires for us to be. Amen. And you know what? That breath, that newness should never get old. Amen. That should never get old. It should never become old hat. Amen. The Spirit of God should never become old. Amen. But every time we feel that presence, every time God moves in us and speaks to us, amen, it's a new thing. It's a new revelation. It's a deeper and a more perfect understanding of His will. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that wants to partake of this new life. Amen. I know that most of us here, if not all of us here, have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to partake of this new life. Amen. We need to be renewed in the breath of God. We need to be renewed in His Spirit day by day. Amen. Why don't we stand together this morning? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody that would like to, amen, just come and stand at the altar. Why don't you get a friend this morning? Amen. And why don't we just come and stand at this altar today? And why don't we just recommit ourselves, rededicate ourselves to God? Why don't we press in as Nicodemus did and seek after a more excellent understanding of God? Why don't we press in and seek after more of His Spirit, more of the breath of God in our lives? Amen. Let's just seek after His face as we sing, and let's pray into Him right now.